Mediated conversation on SAFM.
It's 27 minutes now to 9 the time. Time for your mediated conversation this morning. So, how are your finances? When you look at your payslip, when you look at your salary being paid into your account, how long do you think it's going to last? And do you even get to see it before the SMSs start coming through telling you about the debit orders as your money is removed? Ka-ching, ka-ching, ka-ching. I'm sure when you go shopping, you would have seen our prices have been rising. You look at what happened last week when interest rates went up again. So, when you see that starting, what does that tell you? We keep being told that there are more interest rate increases to come. And at the same time, if you look at what's happening in the world, in Russia, the invasion of Ukraine has had a huge impact on the price you pay for fuel. In China, it seems the zero COVID policy is leading to protests. Some factories are still closed. In other words, life is still getting financially tougher. It's getting harder. So what's the situation? How are people battling and what's going to happen over the next few months? First, an indication of the levels of indebtedness. How much debt we owe. The Chief Operating Officer at Debt Rescue South Africa is Annelien van der Poel. Then, food prices. Paul Makube is an agricultural economist at FNB. And finally, the economic outlook more generally. We'll speak to Dr. Azar Jamin, Director and Chief Economist at Econometrics. We start then with Annelien van der Poel from Debt Rescue SA. Annelien, good morning.
Good morning, Stephen, to you and your listeners.
What kind of financial distress are you seeing? What picture are you getting from your clients?
Oh, it's getting really, really bad. This year has been tough. It's been tough on so many levels. We've obviously, it started with the impact of the rising cost of living, which obviously indicates inflation, which has the alternative impact of rising interest rates. So consumers, especially, you know, nobody has come off here, but off lightly. But the reality is if you have debt, you're feeling it in the side of cost of living, and then the other side, you're feeling it in interest rate hikes. It's been an incredibly tough year. It's been astronomical monthly installment increases for people who have debt, and monthly increases in the cost of living in totality. Fuel, electricity, just the cost of buying food has gone up so much.
So are you seeing more and more people coming for help, higher levels than normal?
Absolutely, yes. It's increased exponentially in the last couple of months. I don't think anybody foresaw at the beginning of this year. We were hoping that, you know, obviously the lifting of the COVID lockdown levels and, you know, things going back to normal, that we'd be sitting with this kind of after effect at the end of the year of severe, severe pressure on consumers financially.
How big a factor is the increase in interest rates in this? I mean, do you find that the moment they go up, people come and basically have a problem, they come to you?
Definitely. You know, I think it's not uncommon and unknown that we do not have the best savings culture. And what most of us tend to do is we live to the maximum of our means. So when something like an interest rate hike happens, especially if you, for example, have an asset, a home loan or a vehicle, those are your higher installment debt repayments usually, the impact is quite high. And when you see multiple increases like we have seen this year, it's starting, you know, it makes a big difference on your monthly repayments, and the pressure on your budget is massive.
When you look at the financial situation of people, how are they getting into debt? What I'm trying to get to is, what is it that they're paying back?
It's a variety of things. You know, it's obviously we do still, you will have situations where people might have, you know, bought maybe a luxury item of sorts and believe that their budget could deal with it, not realizing the impact, for example, that interest rates would have. But a lot of the time, and we know that one of our big banks put out a publication earlier in the year, that a lot of people are not making it 5 days past payday, which means that, you know, pay hits 5 days later, there's no money left in the bank. And you have to make it through another 25 odd days to your next payday. And what's really happening is a lot of consumers are turning to debt to pay their monthly living expenses, you know, putting food on the table, covering some bills, you know, putting fuel in their vehicles, because there just isn't enough money to get through to the next payday.
So this is about debit orders in a way, isn't it? I mean, it's about, I mean, so much of what certainly middle class people sort of live on now, the money that goes through their accounts, is around debit orders. And so basically that's what leads to the situation. You get the money in, bonds go off, cars go off, any other debt goes off. And so it's about the amount of money that leaves your account through debit order.
Well, definitely. I mean, we all know that there's this very funny meme that usually happens around December where it says, may the best debit order win, because it's literally a case of that. It's almost have a situation of, you know, for example, if you have rent, there's enough money to cover the rent, and the rest is all just going to debt repayments. And, you know, you've got obviously your other services like your insurances and cell phones, etc. But the rest is just going to debt. And once that's run, many people are literally sitting in overdraft after those debit orders have run because there's just not enough money in the bank account to cover everything anymore.
How important is it to sit down and see exactly where your money is going, your debit orders, and try and do a budget? And I must just be honest with you, Annalene, I have not lived in a budget, and I maybe should have, and probably regret it. But how important is it to actually do that process? Look at each debit order, see where it's going, see what you need, see what you don't.
It's critical. It really is. I fully agree with you. It's probably one of the things most of us hate to do. It's definitely not a fun event because it can be quite sobering when you have to see what you truly are sitting with. But without that, you do not have a clear picture of what's going on in your financial life. Only by taking a couple of months worth of bank statements, you are able to see, here's my opportunities. Especially, for example, you might be wanting to save for a home loan. You know, you need a deposit or a deposit for a vehicle. How do you know if you can achieve it? How do you know what you truly can afford if you don't know what is happening in your financial life? So as uncomfortable as it might sometimes feel to have to do that, it's so critical because only then do you know, I can make some changes here. I'm paying for things I don't use anymore and so forth, that you can start taking a positive step towards, you know, moving in the right financial direction.
Annalene van der Poel, thank you. Chief Operating Officer at Debt Rescue SA. Really appreciate the time. Starting a mediated conversation about your finances this morning. 21 minutes to 9. Your mediated conversation continues here on SAFM. Paul Makube is an agricultural economist at FNB. Paul, good morning.
Good morning, and thanks for having me, and good morning to your listeners.
We've seen some big increases in food prices this year. Are you expecting food prices to keep going up? Are there likely to be sharp increases still in the near future?
Yeah, so at the moment, we expect that the current elevated trend will persist for next few months, and thereafter decelerate into the second quarter of 2023. And this is driven by the current, upswing in prices, especially in the grain complex, and also your meat prices. That have you might have heard about the cost pressures that are there in the sector, with some of the producers, especially in the poultry or intensive livestock feeding systems, that are struggling with those cost pressures, especially high maize prices for feeding livestock. Therefore, there's a need for cost recovery, and in the short to medium term, we're likely to see that attempt at cost recovery, which means prices will remain relatively elevated in the next few months. In the grain complex, we are likely to see that situation. The horticulture sector, although quite volatile, we don't expect such upswing in prices, so that will almost dampen the upswing in the grain and the horticulture and the meat sector.
What's driving these prices? Why are they still going up?
That's the result of spillover impact of developments on the international market. Firstly, we're talking about the high input costs, and that have manifested over the past year, and the war situation in Ukraine, the logistics challenges globally that affected the fertilizer market and also the agrochemicals. So that brought about the cost pressures, but also when you look at the supply globally. The contraction in expected output, pushed international prices higher of agricultural commodities, and that spilled over onto the local market. The weaker exchange rate also put the domestic prices higher due to the fact that we are exposed to the international market by over 60%, and therefore prices increased. In terms of the supply situation, however, is that we are sufficiently supplied. So most of the impact has been the external factors, but also the you know, the rand exchange rate that impacted on the, you know, domestic market.
A lot of this is around the maize price, right? I mean, the maize plays a huge role in the production of other foods, particularly for meat and things like that. What's maize doing? And I mean, a lot of grains like that were also grown in Ukraine. Some of them are in international markets. I'm going to come to that in a minute. But what's happening with the maize price?
Yeah, the maize price, you know, remains relatively strong, you know, in the past quarter and currently remains, you know, remains high. Despite the fact that we have a relatively good crop from the recent harvest, and this is largely, as I indicated, due to the, you know, rand exchange rate, but also the strong export demand. I mean, you know, exports are above trend. You know, the demand from deep sea on the international market, and also regionally in terms of you know, white maize, we've heard about it. You know, countries in the east, some of the countries in the east, lifting their restrictions on GMO imports, and therefore allowing you know, the South African you know, product to reach those markets. So strong, you know, demand pull on the local export market, and that has lifted the, you know, the maize prices. Yeah, but the international situation, you know, the you know, hot and cold blow by the, you know, the grain deal, you know, for the Black Sea, we saw at some stage it was going to go off, and you know, prices rallied, but we see that situation improving, with grain being, you know, being able to move out of the Black Sea, where the war has been, you know, persistent.
So I mean, this deal, the Black Sea deal that you talk about, it's grain being that's grown in Ukraine through a deal with Russia and Turkey, then being sold on world markets. If those shipments are stopped, I would imagine there'll be a big increase in grain prices, but possibly all food prices.
Yes, mainly grain prices, given that the, you know, the two countries are the major exporters of wheat and maize, and including, you know, sunflower oil. They are actually the biggest suppliers of sunflower oil, and hence, if you look at the international oilseed prices index, you know, increased sharply during when you know, at the height of the war. But with the fruits and vegetables, it's not, you know, the production is in other parts of the world, and therefore, you know, less impacted by that. But the huge impact is on the actually logistics. Where we see, you know, in interest and fuel prices, you know, increasing. At the moment, the freight costs for moving, you know, cargo between countries increased sharply. We have seen, you know, pressures on the on our export market in terms of the citrus fruits, with, you know, producers facing huge costs in terms of delivering the product to international markets. So those are the factors that have actually influenced the you know, current, you know, inflation pressures in the agri complex.
We are expecting another La Nina year, so above average rainfall. That normally leads to above average crop production. Will that have any impact on our food prices, or the international markets actually determine what we pay? So it may not matter on the weather here, it may matter on the weather in Canada.
Yes, so in terms of the La Nina, generally characterized by, you know, above normal rainfall in southern Africa. At the moment, our expectation is that we're going to have another excellent season, crop season. Obviously, you might have pockets of you know, pressures in terms of you know, heavy rains that might impact on, you know, planting in terms of planting delays and you know, waterlogging in some areas. But generally, the outlook is positive on that score. But La Nina on this side means on the other side of the world, you know, Brazil and you know, the South America, they influence the it has an opposite influence on them, which means that they might, you know, have a slight cut in output, and therefore that might raise the level of prices on the international market. As the Northern Hemisphere at the moment is currently on you know, at the tail end of the harvest season, the extent of the crop will also determine price direction. At the moment, indications are that overall crop is, especially of maize, is slightly lower than last year, but still at over 1.1 billion tons produced globally. But the wheat stocks are relatively good at the moment in terms of also production. If you look at rice as well, not affected severely.
Paul Makube, thank you very much indeed, agricultural economist at FNB. Well, we'll continue the conversation around your finances and the economy. We'll speak to Dr. Azhar Jamin from Econometrics in a moment.
Mediated conversation on SAFM.
8 minutes to nine. Continuing your mediated conversation this morning about your finances and the global economy. Dr. Azhar Jamin is the Director and Chief Economist at Econometrics. Dr. Jamin, good morning.
Good morning to you, Stephen, and good morning to your listeners.
We've seen very high levels of inflation around the world and here. We've seen interest rates going up as a result. What's your outlook for inflation? Is it going to remain high?
Inflation will remain higher than it's been at any stage in recent years, but I think we've passed the peak, certainly in South Africa and quite probably also in the United States. It may well be peaking in Europe. We don't know quite yet whether that is the case. But you've got to bear in mind that inflation measures the change in prices from the same now compared with exactly the same time a year ago. And for inflation to, you know, when inflation starts coming down, it doesn't mean that prices are starting to come down. It's just that the rate at which they're increasing starts coming down. And that's an important distinction to make.
It's a situation we have little control over. Fuel prices are set in international markets. We can't stop Russia's invasion of Ukraine. We can't fix COVID in China. So then what do policy makers do? I mean, does the governor just keep raising rates?
If inflation keeps rising, yes, the governor has no option but to keep raising rates. But it's the governor's job to try and estimate the rate at which prices will carry on increasing in the future. And as I said, even if prices carry on rising in the future but do so at a lower rate, then there's no need for him to carry on indefinitely raising interest rates. But he is also hamstrung by what is happening internationally, because there is a necessity to keep our interest rates in line with those overseas, or rather to keep a differential that will make it attractive for people to want to keep their rands and not take their money out of South Africa and see the rand falling sharply, which would push up inflation still further. Then that is a very big pressure on the Reserve Bank as to why they are having to raise rates all the time, because it's happening overseas. Yeah.
Okay. So just to understand that a little better, if we do things that are out of kilter with the rest of the world in terms of the big sort of central banks, then people will make money by taking their rands out of the country, putting them into dollars, and getting more money there. So we have to raise interest rates to protect our currency, even though that means that people are going to pay, that people are really going to battle here.
That is correct. But the real objective is they'll battle in the short term, but you know, it's a kind of a short-term pain for longer-term gain. And the opposite is, if the Reserve Bank doesn't raise interest rates now, then inflation will go even higher than we had previously thought it would, and people will then suffer even more down the line. So it really is a case of trying to inflict short-term pain in order to get the gain in the longer term of inflation coming off the boil, especially for poorer people.
No one that I know wants higher inflation in the longer term. But I've heard some analysis that suggests this may happen because of what's happening in China, that over the last 20 or 30 years, China's been, and the phrase they use is exporting deflation around the world. So as I understand it, it was making goods at a very cheap price for a long time. If you were in South Africa and you wanted to buy a bicycle, because it was now cheaper for that for you to buy that bicycle because it had been made in China for various reasons, that had an impact on bicycle inflation in South Africa. So people can no longer buy these goods at lower prices because the situation in China is changing, which means that exportation of deflation will no longer happen, which means that inflation everywhere around the world, including here, is likely to go up in the longer term. I hope I've explained that properly. Does that make sense to you?
You did very well, Stephen. Yeah, you did very well. I think, though, that is just one of the factors. I think it's a valid factor. The other big factor is that in the wake of COVID, the world's leading countries, and especially their central banks, just poured new money into the global financial system and embarked upon massive fiscal stimulus. You know, in America, they were sending out checks of $1,000 a month to people to help them survive. Well, you know, now that COVID is dissipating and lockdowns have been removed, those people have got extra cash and they've been going and spending like crazy. And that has been pushing up inflation in those countries even more. It's not a phenomenon we have in South Africa, fortunately, and that's why our inflation rate is lower than that in most of these other countries. But it has been that excess money supply has been a major factor. Now it's starting to reverse itself, and that's one of the reasons why I'm confident that inflation will start coming down.
Okay, so inflation may start coming down. Do you think this is still going to be a huge issue in 2 years' time, or do you think it may be resolved before then? Or is the world just, and I realize, Dr. Jimin, that actually making predictions about the world now is much harder than it used to be. But is your prediction then that sort of higher inflation for a longer period?
I think we will have higher inflation than we've been used to for a longer period. But in South Africa, I think we should and could get our inflation rate back down to below 5% over the next few years. That's not a low inflation rate, but it's certainly below current levels. The real challenge is that the world economy is likely to slow down substantially in the wake of these much higher interest rates, and that can weigh down on our commodity prices and exacerbate it potentially if China keeps having these problems with regard to lockdowns, which are interrupting the supply of vital goods, inputs that go into production processes. We've seen shortage of Apple iPhones, for example, because of these lockdowns. And that can help sustain inflation at higher levels for a little longer. But generally speaking, I think we will see inflation coming down, but not to the levels that we were accustomed to a few years ago.
Dr. Izzar Jamin, I really appreciate the time. Thank you, Director and Chief Economist at Econometrics. My thanks also today to Paul Makube, the Agricultural Economist at FNB, First National Bank, and starting us off today, the Chief Operating Officer at Debt Rescue SA, Annelien van der Poel. I'm sure you've noticed how tough life is in terms of just getting enough money to get by. The side hustle has a side hustle, is what some people tell me. I have to tell you that I think today is going to be quite a busy day. In about an hour and 20 seconds from now, we expect the former Chief Justice, Sandile Ngcobo, to hand over, formally and in public, the Phala-Phala report compiled by his panel to the Speaker of the National Assembly, Nosavuma Pisan-Gakula. And I must say, I do expect, it's my expectation, that it will then be released publicly, and who knows what will happen from there. Well, all I do know is that it has been very good to be with you through this morning. From Mpo, from Banyana, from Stanza, from Mdu, from myself. Have a good Wednesday. You with SAFM. We're back tomorrow, leading the conversation 9 o'clock.